call to order the February 21st special meeting, the mid-year budget review, the Willow City Council. Gary Hughes.
Yes, Madam Mayor. I didn't call you Mr. Mayor this time.
Thank you.
Salute. Pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And I just want to make note, we went on at 4 o'clock. Roll call, please, Madam Clerk.
Councilmember Williams.
Here.
Councilmember Yoder. Councilmember Hanson.
Here.
Vice Mayor Miller.
Here.
Mayor Moore.
Here. Number four, public comments, written communications. Public comment is restricted, so only those topics listed on the agenda is generally restricted to 3 minutes. Do we have any public comment? Seeing none, we'll move on to five. Fiscal year 2017-18 mid-year budget review. Overall budget review expenditures, general fund review projections, general fund expenditures by department and versus 2016-17 to date, appropriations and enterprise funds. Mr. Salisbury.
Thank you, Madam Mayor, members of the council. Before we get started in the mundane detail of this, I'd like to point out that my son called me about 10 minutes ago from the Madison Parish Garden and told me he was involved in a study session. So we did have the conversation regarding studies and studies. If we're going to try to attract maybe more input, might I suggest that we start the Miller and Midyear or the Budweiser and Budget Time come this spring. So just something for the council to ponder for future additional input from the public.
Duly noted.
There we go. Well, thank you for the opportunity to present the mid-year budget review. We'll go through a number of areas fairly quickly here. And please, by all means, stop me at any point if you have any questions of myself or members of the staff. Let's start with section one of the budget, of the mid-year review. And what that is, what we put in here is the original budget. We kind of want to put a recap of the overall resources and uses of the city under the concept of where is it coming from and where it's going. And the fine people who are running through the screen right there would be looking at Exhibit 1-1 and 1-2.
Tim, would you mind telling us what page that way?
That would be pages 8 and 9.
Okay, thank you.
Or the big numbers 2 and 3. But bottom right hand corner, pages 8 and 9. What this does is this kind of recaps the budget the council passed for 17-18 in its totality, where the funding sources are and where it's going. So I think the one takeaway from this particular section I want to point out, as specifically on page 1-2 or page 9, is that even though we have transferred law enforcement over to the Glenn County Sheriff's Office, I want to point out, the city is still making a very major investment in police services. If you see up there, next to our enterprise sewer and water operations, the police is the second largest expenditure of the city. And so again, this, you know, as folks question the city's commitment to law enforcement, I think this is a very good way to produce the fact that we're still very committed to investment in law enforcement in the city of Willis. So with that, I'd like to move into Exhibit 2, which is the general fund. It's the primary fund that we have that the council has discretion and control over. Let's move to Exhibit 2-1 on page 11. And what this is where we originally projected general fund revenues, and with the advent of having 6 months of activity, we've made several minor adjustments to our general fund line revenue line items. A couple things I do want to point out. The very first line item, the property tax, we revised it slightly downwards, just under $6,000. As we talked about a couple months ago, there was a situation with out of Manville regarding some past equipment, or what they refer to as unsecured property tax. There was some corrections. Manville's actually owed about $900,000 in total from the county. Our share of that is $23,000. The finance director from the county was able to put together an agreement where this will be spread over 4 years. So the $23,000 divided by 4 is just under $6,000 a year, and we made that adjustment in terms of our projections for the property tax revenue. The next item that's worth mentioning is occupancy tax. A little bit surprised here that occupancy tax remains strong. We thought there would be some effect at Golden Pheasant closing. It has not shown that much effect at all. In fact, revenues from TOT continue to rise. The two primary issues there is we've got construction activity starting out of the rice straw plant. I think we've got a lot of folks coming to town and utilizing our lodging paying for that. And again, as we can tell, the calendar's still pretty full out of the racetrack. So again, a lot of folks still occupying our hotels, and we're certainly very grateful for that.
Tim, if you don't mind, I'd like to just make a comment so that way, unfortunately, the public is not here, but if they listen to the audio, is in the past I've heard criticism of, you know, that the racetrack doesn't do anything for the city of Willows. And I would disagree with that and explain, you know, a good portion of the TOT tax is going to be the racetrack folks. They buy a lot of fuel in town. They do patronize restaurants. So I just want to make note of that.
And we can probably take that step further. We would not have O'Reilly. I don't think the investment would have been made by the folks at O'Reilly without the racetrack. What was happening was we did not have an auto parts resource open on Sunday in this community. And a lot of folks on Sundays would head up to Orland and buy their parts up there. And I think that was a huge factor in O'Reilly making the decision to make an investment in Willows and open up shop. And so yeah, I appreciate you saying that. Yes, there has been a lot of criticism of the racetrack, but it certainly has been a significant economic benefit to the community as a whole.
Thank you.
It is a destination. The other line item would be in the other revenues and funds, note 7. Primarily the issue there is that proceeds from the auction that took place back in September were a bit lower than we thought they were going to be. So net result, we've adjusted the projected general fund revenue only about $4,000 downward in total, but wanted to kind of give you a synopsis as to why. So let's move to Exhibit 2-2, page 12. And we're going to be talking more about this when we get to Section 3. But what we're trying to show to the council here is the original budget with revenues of 3.77 million, expenditure 3.85. Council had approved an operating deficit of just under $84,000. We're going to be discussing a little bit later here several appropriations we're going to be requesting as it pertains to the general fund, about $54,000 in additional appropriations. I'll point out now, point out again, that these are actually one-time expenditures and not ongoing, so the concerns are a little bit less, but that we'll ultimately be looking to revise to a deficit of 142 as a result of these appropriations. And again, we'll get into those in more detail when we get to Section 3, but want to point that out at this point in time. Moving to Exhibit 2-3 on page 13. That shows a comparison of where we are at compared to the projected revised budget. Again, we've collected about 49% of projected revenues. We've spent about 53% of the projected budget, and that's where we stand through 6 months. Again, we will always be in a situation where the first 6 months will be much leaner than the second 6 months. Our revenue is somewhat back-ended in the year for the city. And then as a reminder, there are two items that we pay up front that are fairly substantial in the first month of the year. We pay the total of the unfunded liability for the year in July each year. And we also pay all of our liability and property insurance in total during the first month of the year. So again, revenues can be a bit lean. We have a couple of very front-end loaded expenditures, so we'll always see in the first 6 months things looking worse than they end up. And again, so looking at a deficit of 232 for the first 6 months and projecting that downward 142 is not unexpected. A couple of line items that talking about again our front-end loading. The city manager budget shows that it's almost 94% expended. That is because the primary line item in the city manager budget is the unfunded liability for our past city managers. We have a little bit of travel cost in there, but it is primarily paying in for the PERS liability each year. And so when we pay that the first month, it pretty much exhausts that budget. The other line item that is substantially above 50%, if you go down about two-thirds of the way to the Parks Department, it's about 75% expended through the first 6 months. Our community services director and his staff underwent a fairly significant project at Sycamore Park involved aeration, seeding, and fertilizing. Again, that's the type of thing that's project-oriented, expended all at once versus being spread throughout the year. And that's the primary reason that the Parks Department budget looks to be somewhat overexpended, but again, it is not.
That was actually all the parks, not just
that. Okay, it was all the parks, sorry about that. So, when we have green, fresh looking grass coming up this spring, we can thank Steve and his staff for that. So, are there any questions specifically to kind of a specific department as pertains to expenditures throughout the first 6 months?
I just had a statement. There again, for the public's information, I went in and asked multiple questions of Tim in regards to, I looked at the extremes, and Tim addressed those, which were a lot of the, you know, front-loading payments. So at this time, I don't have any questions. I just wanted to make that known that questions were asked prior to the meeting. Sorry.
Oh no, I don't have any questions. We can move on.
And then let's move to Exhibit 2-4, page 14. This is comparing the first 6 months of this year to the first 6 months of last year. On the revenue side, you see that we're about $30,000 lower than last year. That comes from one specific source. Last year at this time, for the first 6 months, we received about $53,000 in insurance proceeds pertaining to the roof of the fire station. We put that into other miscellaneous revenue and expenses. That's really the difference between the 2 years. There's some individual line items that fluctuate up and down from year to year, but that's the primary reason why we're down this year versus last year, is a one-time payment of insurance proceeds. On the expenditure side, compared to last year, probably the takeaway from these various line items is you see that wages, full-time wages, and employee benefits are down this year versus last year. That is because we don't have a police department. Where we find that police department is two lines down in professional and contract services. So bottom line is we are paying for our police department via contract services now instead of internal wages and benefits, and that's really where it sits. In looking at overall general fund expenditures down towards the bottom, $10,075,000 this year through 6 months, $1,993,000 last year through 6 months. As we've discussed previously, the way the amortization of the unfunded liability for PERS works, we're going to pay about $50,000 to $60,000 more a year for about the first 10 years of this thing before it levels off and goes back down. At least that's the projection now. That may change. PERS has proposed changing the amortization of the unfunded liability from 30 to 20. Over the time, that may mean less money that we have to come up with over that 20-year stretch versus 30. The flip side of that is the annual payments will be bigger. So when you hear that PERS is proposing to make things worse for cities and counties regarding the annual unfunded liability payment, they're talking about each current year payment going up because they're trying to shorten the amortization period of the unfunded liability. But again, if you look at it from a long-term standpoint, it might actually be less total dollars out of that time. So we'll see what the final product is from that. But even under the 30-year amortization, it is not a flat amortization. It's designed to ratchet up and then work its way down. So again, we'll be coming to you regarding 18-19, and one of the items of increased expenditure is going to be that we anticipate another 50 to 60 added in our annual unfunded liability.
Tim, on that, you said that the increase 50 to 60,000 for 10 years, if I'm correct in hearing what you said. Are we in year one?
No, we're in year three of that.
Okay.
And again, that can all change. Mr. Williams and I had some fairly significant conversations on this. It can actually negatively amortize. If the investment pool does not reach 7.65%, which is what PERS creates as their anticipated rate of return per year, literally this thing can negative amortize. So meaning that this 30 years is kind of a rolling 30 years. It could keep going beyond that if the payments don't meet. But again, the amortization is designed to ratchet up over the first 10 years of the 30-year cycle and then level off for the remaining 20. But again, that number does change every year. So it could, when you say we're in year three, so can I tell you that 7 years from now it'll level off and start going down? Unfortunately, I cannot do that. So.
Okay,
thank you. And that kind of provides an overall synopsis of the general fund from several different viewpoints. What I'd like to do now is discuss section or exhibit four, section four, pages 16 and 17 of the council. And that's where we're going to get into both the general fund and other fund appropriation requests. I mentioned earlier that we're looking for $54,000 in additional general fund appropriations. The first two are actually tied together. As a result of the extensive work we've done with the cannabis ordinances and how we're going to deal with cannabis going forward, we've expended a lot of time and money with both the city attorney and the city planner. Net result, we've exhausted a good chunk of their budgets. So what we're requesting to keep them going for the balance of the year is another $20,000 for the city attorney, another $10,000 for the city planner. Again, I'm not saying that going forward that's all going to be used for cannabis going forward. It's just that we spent enough time and money on cannabis as the primary issue during the first 6 months that we've exhausted a chunk of their general fund budget. So we're looking for augmentation for their continued services. Then the other item is in the police department. As you are aware, we did not completely cleanly transition over to the SO on July 1. Actually, we finished the transition on August 28th. We had some expenditures for personnel that we could not both in good conscience and good faith transfer over to the SO. We did have an employee that was on restricted duty and could not patrol, and therefore it would not have been something that would have been under the purview of being able to discount our payments to the SO. As we were doing with our active officers during that transition period. Then we did have one other officer that did not make it through the transition to the SO, and we had to give 2 weeks, we were required by our agreement to give 2 weeks notice to that individual, and that individual was not patrolling in that period, so we could not pass that cost. So net result is that we're asking for $24,000 for additional augmentation to cover those personnel costs that otherwise could not be covered via discounting our payments to the SO. And those are the three items we'd be looking for on the general fund. Again, if we have council consensus on those, we'll come back to next Tuesday night's meeting because we do need to do appropriations in open session. If we have consensus tonight, we'll put it on the consent calendar, but it does need to be done in a regularly scheduled open session. Then looking at page 17, are some items that are not general fund related. First, from our economic development fund, and the economic development fund, as a reminder, is the old CDBG payments on the what is now the Casa Ramos restaurant, and I can't think of name what the restaurant was in the 90s.
Willowbrook.
The Willowbrook. Thank you very much. The old Willowbrook payments from the CDBG loan there. Again, that particular fund does not continue to augment other than the interest that it earns. But we're asking for, folks at Three Corps have been instrumental in maintaining the management along with some other folks on the EDA grant and in providing services and support in the EDA grant. And that is not something that can be recouped through the grant. We've exhausted the budget for that. And anticipate another $3,750 in the second half of the year, so we're going to request that additional funding. Then out of community discretionary, that funding source comes from two sources. We have some old housing rehab loans from old CDBG grants property manager rather than through the city. But we do need to augment that budget for the roof replacement. The second item, actually, we've already expended when council agreed to the terms of the gap loan with Three Court in case we need it. As temporary gap financing for the South Willis project. There was a loan fee involved at the time of signing. We've already paid that, but we do need to add that to the budget. And the final item, we appreciate the kudos regarding the website as it stands now. It looks great, and it's dying. We need to go through some website development and go with a different website vendor. And it's going to be fairly expensive to do so. Just some of the capabilities and utilization of the existing website, hosts have been fully exhausted, and we're starting to run into some problems with the ability for it to be used and or expanded. So we're asking for some funds to deal with new website development, developing a new website to host. So that's the extent of the appropriations, both general fund and other funding sources. And finally, if we can just take a brief look at page 19, the Sewer Enterprise Fund. As we previously discussed, we've been able to maintain cash flow for almost a decade pertaining to the operations of the sewer fund. We're now getting into a cash flow deficit. We still have a good chunk of reserves. We still have over $1 million of sewer enterprise reserves, but we've got to head in now to look at rate increases. In fact, we are in contact with the Rural Communities Assistance Corporation, and they're developing a budget for us to assist us with doing the Nexus calculations for a rate study, and they also provide services in terms of assisting us through the Proposition 218 process that it would take to do a rate adjustment. So we're working on developing a budget with them. We're not asking for any additional funds at this point in time. We'll see if we can fit that into our existing budget situation. If we can't, we'll come back another time and ask for appropriations. But bottom line is we're starting the process of looking at a rate study and then potentially a rate increase, and a likely rate increase, again, to get us back to a position where we're not only cash flow neutral, but putting some money away for capital improvements in the sewer fund.
Actually, Tim, if you don't mind.
Not at all.
I apologize if this is not the time and place, but I know that we're one of the few cities that actually contract out our wastewater treatment plant, and I would like to see if it would be feasible for us to do it in-house, if it would be any money savings. Not saying that it wouldn't be, but you know, this is no reflection on any of our staff at this point, because this was all done prior to, you know, staff being part of the city. But I do know that Corning does contract with the same company, or they did about a year ago. But I believe that the other, I do know that the city of Williams does their own. I spoke with the Public Works Director down there. But like I said, I don't know if it's feasible, but I think that I would like to see a survey done and see, you know, just talk to the different you know, small municipalities around, like we did with the city council, you know, what their pay scales and things like that, you know, similar size, Williams, Colusa, Live Oak, things like that, big, see what they're doing and see if they're doing business differently.
Okay. One of the things to point out here is we're partway through the first year of a three-year renewal with the service provider, and I don't believe that you would like to bring this in-house is something that's going to allow us to get out of that contract. So what I think the practical matter of this is to do this a couple of years from now, as we're in the last year of that agreement, and possibly then have an exit strategy at that point in time, if it makes sense to do so. To do so now, again, would be premature, because even if we found out that that's what we could that there is an opportunity to do so. We can't exit for about 2.5 years under those circumstances. You know, the other issue that, and certainly we'll do it at that point in time, but one of the items to point out here is what it would cost to have this particular plan would require a grade 5 operator in a management tutorial capacity. And I have to defer to Mr. So as to what else would be required in terms of personnel. But I think it would require a minimum of three personnel to run. Again, at least one of them would have to have a grade 5. I don't know what the other ones would have. The thought process there is that to be competitive in a grade 5 operator is probably going to, and again, I'm not saying we can't do it, but we do need to recognize the personnel side of things. A grade 5 operator might end up being the highest paid individual within the city. What that would do to our existing public work staff, what that would do to our management staff, some things that may be non-specifically financial in terms of the total picture, but looking at the skew or the relative cost of such positions, I just kind of want to give the council, particularly those that may be here a couple of years from now, there's going to be some of those types of factors that we'll have to look at that are beyond just dollars and cents. So just some things to consider as we go forward.
Yeah, you know, my thought pattern was is that if it's cheaper for us to contract it out, why doesn't all these other cities jump on the bandwagon and contract it
sure.
out?
Sure, one of the reasons is, again, looking 17 miles to the north, there's no discharge of outfall water. Mm-hmm. Okay, it's a pond system.
Right.
You don't have the, you know, operations, I hate to consist of throwing some bacteria, throwing some amoeba in the water and raking it off. It's a much different concept. So we're going to have to look at this from an apples to apples standpoint in terms of the treatment, sewer treatment. I think we're going to find in a lot of instances that because of our clay soil and our need to discharge and where we discharge into, that we're at a technology and expertise level that's unfortunately much higher than some other folks. So that, again, there's some mitigating factors here. And again, we'll do this, but I think it's something that's better suited to do as we enter the last year of the contract, where we can do an apples-to-apples comparison, and we can be real about the concept of switching over to internal staffing, and actually practically be able to do so at the end of the contract.
Okay, that would be all I ask, is that maybe prior to the expiration of the contract that we, you know, do this in advance, sure, we have it. So, thank you.
Yep, you betcha. Any other questions or comments regarding sewer enterprise?
Yes, I have a question.
Right.
Or actually comments along the lines of Mr. Williams' comments. Several years ago, a previous city manager and two public works directors ago, I did the same question to Jeff, and I actually sat down and met with city manager and public works director over the contract issue in reference to the sewer treatment plant. There was a cursory review and on that question, and I was educated along those lines also about the, you know, the soil types, the treatment process. Basically, the bottom line at that time, that was several years ago, was before you came on the council. It was cheaper to actually go with contract services. Because like I said, I had the same questions with you know, the large monthly bill. Mm-hmm. But due to the operations that are required here in our particular city, it was cheaper at that time to go with the contract services overall. It was the best method. And also you're talking about having a grade 5 operator, you know, with this new plan. So anyway, I you know, down the road, review. I think it's always good to review operations, you know, and moving forward. But I wouldn't be surprised if the answer might be the same. You know, so if after that review, I wouldn't be surprised. I was, like I said, I learned a lot during that little process we went through. But and just along the lines, similar to your comments earlier, Jeff, I met with Mr. Silver yesterday. We had a very good discussion. Meter budget review overall, and answer all my questions, and nice work again, as always, on the
Thank you.
And then part five, we're not going to go into any detail unless we have a council member that would like to do so. And it is the detail. It is detailed by department, detailed expenditure reports. It's basically the minutia of where we're at. And again, unless there's specific questions, I mean, historically don't go through. What I'd like to do at this point in time, Madam Mayor, is go back to exhibit three, the appropriations, and double check if we have council consensus that we can bring them back in the next meeting.
Can you finish with page 10, please?
I'm sorry? Page 16 and 17.
Okay, thank you. I've got stuff scattered from one end to the other here.
Okay, who wants to start? Anybody have any questions or comments?
Just a comment, Madam Chair. In reference to the appropriations and transfer requests, these numbers are just the cost of doing business. The city attorney and planning and the entire administrative staff has been extremely busy in reference to the marijuana, the cannabis related laws and that whole issue and the ordinance brought forward. And every transfer appropriation request, it just costs doing business. And I don't see any reason why the request should be granted as presented. So I can say thank you.
Mary?
Yeah. Actually, I just basically want to echo the same sentiments. Unfortunately, with this cannabis thing, this wasn't our choice. This was pushed down by, an election. So, yeah, we may have beat it up an awful long time and maybe saved a little bit of money if we had been a little bit shorter on some of our questions and answers, but was trying to do the right thing. So I agree with Gary. I think that, it needs to move forward with the appropriations.
I agree with both gentlemen. This year it's cannabis, next year it'll be something else. So.
Well, we're opening a little bit of a reprieve before it's something else. I do want to point out, these are one-time expenditures. So again, these are not systemic or built into ongoing expenditures.
I have no problem with it being brought forward to the council meeting. Is that the consensus of the council? I think you're good then.
Again, thank you very much for your time. And I appreciate your willingness to dive into these numbers and take a look and ask
for our bid.
Okay, so move on to number six, discussion and advice regarding an increase to monthly city council stipend.
Given originally the city manager was going to introduce this, but given his departure. Item six, discuss and advise the increase to the monthly city council stipend. This was brought forward by Councilmember Mello, and we'd just like to turn it over to him for discussion purposes.
Good afternoon, City Council members and Mayor. Before you tonight is a request to review and discuss our current city council stipend or salary. I recommend adjusting the stipend upward to meet the California Government Code 36516 standards. Our council currently receives a stipend that is far below the norm of any city our size. It is insufficient, inadequate, not just for today's city council, but for tomorrow's council as well, and is truly in need of an adjustment. The current amount is far out of whack and far outdated. Our last city council stipend increase was over 18 years ago. That's almost two decades. And since that year, there has been zero changes. And Tim, if you want to add something to that or correct me, in that 18 years?
The ordinance was last updated in April of 2000, so it would be 18 years. And if you've read the detail, you can increase up to 5% per year, but that is cumulative. So based upon an 18-year spread, the increase is as much as 90%. So the maximum that you can go to at this point in time from 150 would be 285. So you can't get all the way to the maximum 300, but you could get to as much as 285.
It seems that we have fallen behind on this issue. It's time to do something. A raise is justified considering the amount of time each council member spends on the job and the responsibility the job brings. The League of California Cities state that council members work an average of 20 hours per week. Here in Willows, council members spend long hours preparing and digesting reports in advance before attending council meetings, special meetings, budget meetings, events, sessions, appearances, ceremonies, and attending assigned committees. And that's just a few of what we do when we serve. Like this meeting here today, we adjust or rearrange our work hours, use our vacation time, or just take off of work without pay so that we can meet our obligations here today. Saying that, I believe a suitable stipend is justified for today's council members and for future council members. And you have different exhibits here. Exhibit A is the attachment A is other cities our size and what they're paying their council. And you can see where $150 a month, and that hasn't changed since 18 years. So you can see we are the lowest. Williams is at 300, Live Oak is at 364, and you actually can go beyond the 300. It just takes a special ordinance to do so. So, but right now, we want to follow the California code. 300 is the max unless we decide we want to go beyond that. And this sheet right here, it says City Council salary right here. This one right here. It's kind of a cheat sheet. A government code 36516A sets a maximum amount for salary of a city council member depending on the population size of the city. So right now, we are authorized, if we agree on that max amount, of $300 per month. And the second paragraph, Government Code 36516.5, authorizes an increase in council salaries in an amount not to exceed 5% for each year since the last adjustment. And it's been 18 years. Now, there's some cities out there I researched that they haven't been had an increase in city council pay in 34 and 36 years. And they jumped, they had a big jump. And that doesn't mean we have to actually, if council decides on doing an increase, we don't have to actually increase our city council stipend to 300. We could do 30% and then we could wait 2 years and do another adjustment after a couple of years. And there's an example right there of one. We do a 20 to 50% increase effective after the November 18 election. That could be for 2 years. And if council doesn't want to take action, he can put this on the ballot. And I don't know the cost of putting that on the ballot. It's something most cities handle within council. And let's say we decide on a 10% raise or a 20% raise or 30% raise. It does not come into effect until the last municipal election. So for example, Jeff Williams' term is up in November, right, Jeff?
Correct.
Which means is if we approve a raise, an increase, it won't come into effect until after November when we have an election. So I would get a raise, Eric Hansen would get a raise, the mayor would get a raise, and if you stay, you would get a raise, and a new member of council comes out and will get a raise. So that's according to the California code. And a salary has to be established by an ordinance. So what I have for you today is just for council to look at, decide if this is something council wants to do, or leave the $150 a month the way it is. But I know in my past experience, $150 after taxes leaves $135, and at $135, I spend it. And I spend it on doing my job. And it does my job Those dip into my house money also. So, does any council members have any questions on this?
Questions, gentlemen?
Oh, I don't have any question, ma'am. Just that, you know, it's kind of funny. I brought up the asking about stipend for the planning commissioners, and this was actually going to be, you know, my next step was going to be for council, even though I chose not to run at the next election. Like I had been mentioned at the last council meeting, this was a real eye-opener for me to realize all the responsibilities, the time to be prepared for council meetings. Gave me a lot more respect for the people that come up here and do the job. I would not receive a benefit of a raise, but I truly do believe that people that sit up here deserve an increase, because it's not that it's an insult for the $150, but realistically, you know, I truly think that people do take money out of their household you know, funds, you know, to be on city council, and it really shouldn't be that way. You know, I don't know to what percentage increase would be reasonable, but myself, because our sister city is at 240, real quickly, if we was to increase to 240, and correct me if I'm wrong, Kevin, I don't mean to put you on the spot here, it would be $450 a month additional than we have, so that would be $5,400 a year for the increase if we went to what the city of Oregon. Does that sound about right?
As far as wage, yes, but because we pay you as employees versus in a contract, we also have employer taxes paid for that.
Okay, yeah. So
it'd be a bit over $5,400.
Okay. Yeah, so you're not talking a huge amount here, and like I said, I think it's well deserved, and I wouldn't receive it because I've already, you know, made knowledge that I won't be running at the next election, possibly 2020. But you know, even if I wasn't, I would still recommend that, you know, we bump it up some. I don't know what the other council members, you know, feel is adequate, but that's my, you know, thought on it. Thank you.
Gary, you have any comment?
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I agree with everything Vice Mayor Mello and Council Member Williams just said. We chose to serve on that city council, and it's a pleasure, honor, pleasure to serve on the council. I really enjoy it, but it is it's kind of eye opening looking at the staff report attached today. All the cities, you know, very close. Very close proximity and similar size, for example, Williams Case. I knew that Orland would receive a little bit more of a stipend than we even have for quite a while now. But this isn't something that I don't think any of us probably go around when we interact with fellow council members from our sister cities. We generally don't talk about our stipend. Right? I've never asked another council member, except came up here in discussion with one of our colleagues and a friend of mine from Orland City Council quite some time ago about their $240 stipend. But I was really surprised to see Williams Cruz coining, you know, all at the max $300 or whatever it was. But, you know, I thoroughly enjoy serving on city council, but it is the worst paying part-time job I've ever had, ever. So, the $150 stipend is, what is it, pay 14, I guess. Robin prints out. Thank you, Robin, for turning out all these volumes. Yeah, it's just, if the consensus of the council would be to increase the salary for the government code section after the last election cycle, I'd be supportive of it. Jeff, along with your lines of question, we're always minding our budget, and that's why we're here today. $5,000 or $6,000, that's still $5,000 or $6,000, that's not a lot of money in the grand scheme of things, but it's still a costly amount. But I enjoy the way that I completely agree with your comments. It's never easy, recommending to give yourself, in essence, a pay raise.
Are they trying to say you get what you pay for?
Could be.
I know there's a lot of people thinking that. So.
I'm with Gary. I agree with everything that Vice Mayor Miller said, but also it's hard to sit up here and say, oh, give us some more money. But I'm not opposed to it being brought forward.
You know, I would agree with that, you guys' comment, but for me, it won't impact me because I won't be here next cycle, and I don't have a problem at all saying that it's well-deserved. So, you know, personally, you know, I get the point that, you know, it's not a huge amount of money, but it's still taxpayer money. I don't take that lightly, as you probably have heard from all my comments in the past, but, you know, I think it's well-deserved, so. And it's not like anybody's going to go out and buy a new house with this additional money. So, you know, it's not, you know, I think it's just keeping up with the times.
Well, that's why this always falls behind, because some of the cities are 34 years, 36 years, because who wants to give themselves a raise? But it's the future of the city, it's the future city council members. And if you pay them a little bit more money, you might get a bigger pool of people that might want to do this, not just for $150. But even saying this, we don't have to go for 300. You could do less. You could do, let's say, 30% for a 2-year term and not bring it up again for 2 years. And it's not a compound deal. So you don't have to actually go for the max. You could compromise and go for less, and then 2 years later, look at it again and increase it 5% or. But that 300, there are cities that are above 300, like Live Oak. They're at 364, and you can go beyond that if a city wants to do that. And like you said, Gary, we don't do this for the money. We do this because we, for different reasons, but it's not for the money.
Yeah, that's for sure. You know, it is very, you know, very time consuming. Said, you know, when you're working, you know, and doing other things, you know, we all have busy lives. You know, it's difficult sometimes, you know, finding time to put the time in what we do, and we've got to do our homework and our research. We all have several committee assignments, quite a number of committee assignments outside of just attending meetings, and they all include agendas. Other sort of meetings come up on a regular basis, but I will say that it's been I've had a pleasure serving every council member that we've ever served with to date, and it's been a dedicated individual and puts a lot of time in, and a lot of thought and a lot of time into the city council position, and you know, at the cost of employment and family time. So, but yeah.
Madam Mayor, I actually have one other comment, and you know, forgive me because I didn't actually think of this until just now. I did read through some of the information, like the city of Williams actually pays their mayor an additional amount. And forgive me, it's not like I'm trying to say anything different, but is an elected mayor, like I believe the city of Corning elects a mayor, it's not nominated. Is that a differential?
I don't know the answer.
Okay. Because, you know, that's another thing, you know, when Gary was actually mayor, that I thought that the additional responsibilities, they should be compensated above and beyond what a standard council member is. And I know that puts Gary in an awkward position, but don't, because I don't think it has to be a huge amount, but I truly think. And if for some reason Kerry was absent at a meeting and the vice mayor stepped in, you know, they would be compensated for that additional, you know, role.
But I actually had a discussion with somebody about that. That came up in some kind of abstract. And my understanding was from that conversation that because they were elected, they were able to pay them a salary for that position. So I don't know if that's true, but
can we look into that, Tim?
Yes, we can.
It's on the same ordinance. You could actually put it together. It's a long ordinance.
We'll find out if we can differentiate on appointed mayor as whether it's certified by Decatur or not. One thing I would exercise caution on, the vice mayor steps in and runs a meeting. That becomes based upon attendance then, and we don't pay based upon attendance. We pay a monthly amount regardless of attendance. So we might want to be careful about that.
Yeah, I don't know the technicality.
We start getting involved in an attendance issue. Might highlight some things we don't necessarily want to have highlighted. So.
Okay. Yeah, that's fine. But you know, like I said, I would like to look at that as well as having the mayor, not like I said, not a huge amount of difference, but you know, there is a lot more responsibilities, as you well know now. So I would like that in this discussion as well.
Mr. Smith, I think had a comment.
Board supervisor pays the chairman a stipend for being chair that's above.
Do you know what it is, Steve?
I don't remember if it was $50 a meeting or $50 a paycheck. I can't remember what it was, but they do compensate because of a little more time.
Yeah.
Then I guess the other question at this point in time, Madam Mayor, is we do have a majority that want to take this to an ordinance. It would assist staff if we could come to some sort of agreement on what number we're talking about here so we can draft an ordinance.
I would be good with the 240. And I would like to see, $50 additional for the mayor's seat. Would that be?
No, I have to double check.
If that's allowed.
We can only go 90% at this point in time. 240 plus 50, we get to 290. Okay. And that would violate the 5% per year ordinance. I don't know.
Okay. Yeah, maybe you can come.
I think that's something we can look at later.
We'll do it from a staff perspective.
Okay.
But again, it would be helpful to us if we have some numbers to work with.
Gary?
Hey, Mary? And just one more thing. There are a lot of cities out there who have faced this, a lot of cities, for different reasons, because elected officials don't want to give themselves a raise. So who's it up to? Is it up to the finance director? Is it up to the city manager? Is it up to individuals who care? It gets to the point where there hasn't been a raise for so long that somebody eventually says something like me, that it's 18 years without cost of living raise is not justified.
Okay, so we've established that. So let's figure out
what amount. I wasn't thinking of the full amount. I was more thinking about 30% for 2 years and not bringing it up for another 2 years. So it would be a 30% raise for 2 years. And then after 2 years, it's brought back again to see if we want to do a 5% increase like that, because it's a budget thing item. Or if you do what 90% of the cities have done, is bring it right up to that maximum amount of 300, just because it's been so long. So I'm open for whatever council is interested in doing.
Well, I assume it was 285, right now, that would be the ceiling. I'd be good with either 250 or 285.
I'm good with that as well.
Yeah, I'd also be, whatever my calls require. I just assume just have all five councilmembers receive the same stipend. With that going, I seem like the Portland mayor is $20, really. The individual from the mayor seat, there are additional responsibilities.
No, I apologize. I actually didn't notice that Orland, so, because I didn't, I'm not sure about Williams, but Orland is also nominated, isn't it?
Yeah, it's an elected position.
Okay, so it must be legally ability to do so. So, but yeah, I'm fine, Gary, whatever.
Yeah, no. So that may be where they're 240 and 20, but you're standing at 300, you're just smiling. Either way, I recommend either 250 or 285.
I would say 285 then, if you're good with.
I'm better with the 250. It's just hard for me to sit up here and say, "Give me some more money." I didn't do this for that was not my motivation in doing this.
Exactly.
But it's also to take care of the future council members there.
I understand that.
No, 250 is good with me.
That's fine then.
Yeah, no.
Can always be revisited in 2 years.
$250 is the...
Okay, thank you.
Consensus. Okay, so, moving on to 7, discussion advice regarding the establishment of a plan commission stipend.
This item was brought at the request of Councilmember Williams, so we'll turn it over to you.
Thank you very much. Very much like the last conversation, until I was on council and have attended, it's kind of embarrassing to say, but I didn't attend a lot of planning commission meetings because a lot of that is above and beyond my scope of knowledge. I mean, it takes a different type of people to be able to be on that commission. But with that being said, now that I have been on council for 3.5 years and reading the information that they have to go through, they spend a lot of time doing this. And, you know, I'm kind of shocked that because we do have a list of Live Oak, they get $25 per meeting, Williams gets zero, Calusa gets zero, Corning gets zero, and Orland gets zero. The County of Glenn, it shows $50 per meeting, plus they get 53.5 cents per mile. But one of the things that kind of shocked me is that Live Oak only has 4 meetings in a year. I don't understand how they
could always call it.
Oh, is that what they do? Okay. But like I said, I didn't actually do a lot of research on this. I just thought that, it was the right thing to do because obviously I was, shooting more towards $50 a meeting, but looking at this list, most of them don't receive anything. And the one that does is gonna be Live Oak at 25. I don't know, I think it's just a way of showing appreciation for their work. I mean, just like with on city council, we didn't run for the money and we didn't run for anything other than trying to do what's right for our community. But it does take away from their time and there is, costs that, people didn't understand that they would gonna incur. Not that $25 a month is going to, make a huge difference in their budget, but that was my reasoning for bringing this forward. So, that said, thank you.
Gentlemen, questions, comments?
I am. Where?
Yeah, this was a hard one for me to research. I looked up over 1,000 planning commissioners and from Susanville down to LA, from Gulf to Wheatland, and a lot of them made zero, and just as many made $1,000 as they were, as just as many making zero amount as $1,000 or more. So it just depends on the area. So I haven't really finished my research on this, but I understand where you're coming from, Jeff, on this issue.
Yeah.
Gary?
Well, thank you, Gary. You would know better than any of us. You served on the Planning Commission, so I would definitely defer your thoughts on this matter here. But you'll go last because you're the mayor. So, but, the county, I've known for some time that the county pays Grand County Planning Commissioners $50 a meeting plus mileage. Of course, of the 5 commissioners, at least 4 of them are coming from other supervisorial districts, outside of District 4, which is all incorporated in city roles. But I wouldn't be opposed to $25 per meeting for planning commission, just like your comments, Jeff, just for the same reasons. None of us are doing this for the money of $150 a month, or the planning and the city council members aren't serving for the money because there isn't any money in it. We're doing it for other reasons, service the community. Planning commissioner, along the same lines, and I have no problem with $25 per meeting. It's like at least it's something for missing, the additional work and the time that's, the planning commissioners put in. We don't have a huge number of folks stepping forward applying for planning commission vacancies when we have vacancies, that's for sure. So, but anyway.
Well, having been a planning commissioner for 8 years, it's hard work, and people don't understand that. And you can't just walk into a meeting. You have to go through your agenda.
Absolutely.
And you have to do your homework. So, you know, I'm not opposed to giving them $25 per meeting. It looks like that would put us in line with what's going on around us.
On behalf of our esteemed payroll service person, Jane Collins, who does an outstanding job, I'd like to create a little less work for her. Can we look at this on a per month basis rather than per year basis?
Absolutely.
I didn't hear what you said.
Can we look at this on a per month rather than per meeting basis?
So it would be $50 a month instead of the $25 per meeting. Yeah, that I have no problem with that. I mean, I think that, if we could pay them more, that would be great. But I think let's start here and we can revisit it later down the road. So yeah, I have no problems with this being brought forward.
At 50 a month?
At 50 a month.
Yeah, 50.
Okay. This is similar to the council, this will have to be done by ordinance.
Very good. Anything else on this, gentlemen?
No, ma'am.
Okay, then we're going to adjourn the meeting at 5:01.